So good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Magnolia Public Schools Audit and Facilities Committee meeting. My name is Jennifer Lara. I'm the Executive Assistant and Board Secretary here at Magnolia Public Schools. I will be facilitating tonight's meeting. A couple of reminders before we begin. First, this meeting is being recorded. Second, if you're a member of the public and you wish to give a comment during the public comment sections of this meeting, you're more than welcome to state your name. However, if you don't want to state your name, you may state your comment anonymously. And third, as a reminder to our staff, if you may please state your name and your position in Magnolia when addressing yourself to the board and to the public. And for our committee members, if you may state your name before giving your comments or your questions. And with that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Mohamedov. If you may please call the meeting to order. It is November 3rd, 2022, and the time is 5:34 p.m.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jennifer. Hello, everyone. I would like to call the Magnolia Public Schools Audit and Facilities Committee meeting to order. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. With that, I'll take roll call vote. Mr. Mohamedov?
Here.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez?
Here.
Thank you, Mr. Sheehan. So regardless, we have two of the three committee members joining. We've established quorum, so now we'll move on next with the approval of agenda. The motion is to approve the agenda as presented. Would a committee member like to move the motion?
I'll move the motion to approve the agenda as presented.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. Is there a second?
Seconded, Mekan.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. With that, I'll take roll call vote. Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Yes, Ms. Gonzalez.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you to our committee members. The agenda has been approved as presented. Next, we'll move on to public comments. As a reminder, you're given 3 minutes to state your comment. 6 minutes if translation is needed. If you're a member of the public and you wish to give a public comment, you may unmute yourself now. If no public comments, move forward with the agenda. Next, with the approval of minutes from the regular Audit and Facilities Committee meeting on October 6, 2022. Would a committee member like to move the motion to approve the minutes?
I'll move, Mekan.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. Is there a second?
I'll second it, Diane.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez, for seconding. I'll take roll call vote. Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Yes, Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you to our committee members. The minutes for October 6, 2022 has been approved. Now we'll move on to the informational discussion items, starting with 2A, which is update on the Magnolia Science Academy 5 project at 7111 Winnetka Avenue. This will be presented by Mr. Ontiveros, our General Counsel and Director of Facilities.
Good evening, everybody. This is Patrick Ontiveros, General Counsel and Director of Facilities. As Jennifer mentioned, this is an informational item. As you well know, we hopefully you know that the Office of Public School Construction's Charter School Facilities Program had an application period from May 2nd to June 3rd for an award for to build facilities. Just as a reminder, our MSA Santa Ana project was financed with a similar award. So we submitted for this program. And, you know, I'm happy to report that at last week's meeting, October 26th, the State Allocation Board approved us, for a preliminary apportionment of $50,832,332. For this report, I did attach the agenda from the meeting as well as some backup documentation if you care to take a look at that. And just as a reminder, awards from under the CSFP are 50% loan and 50% grant. The loan portion is paid back to the state and amortized over 30 years. The good news is that 50% is grant and we don't have to pay it back. So in this instance, we would be paying back roughly $25 million amortized over 30 years. One of the pluses about this is that it's at a more favorable rate. It's the rate that the state of California borrows at, so it should be well below the staggering interest rates we're seeing right now. So that's also a big plus. Also, you don't start making payments until I think the process now is about a year after you occupy the space. So you're not accruing any interest on it during that time. So makes it very favorable. So at this moment, we're not asking the board to approve anything. At some point in the not too distant future, we will come back to the board with documents that we will have to sign for this apportionment. But for the moment, there's nothing to approve. It's just an informational item. One thing I did want to also point out is that when you receive this award, because it's state funding, you lose eligibility for SB 740 funding. So that's obviously a downside to it. You know, we rely heavily on that. In just crunching some preliminary numbers, this, based on amortizing over 30 years at the rate previously mentioned, it roughly comes out to about the same amount. So we're not really paying any more than we would without the SB 740 funding. So,
sorry to interrupt, Patrick. Just for minutes purposes, Mr. Sheehan joined us at 5:39 p.m.
Got it. Yeah, thank you. Obviously $50 million is a pretty good size chunk of money. Even in the current inflationary environment, I do believe that this will allow us to build a more robust facility for our school, for our students and our staff to succeed and excel. As between a privately financed project and a state financed project, I think this will allow us again to build a more robust project for MSA5. So that is the end of my presentation for this item. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Ontiveros. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? If not, committee members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item?
Thank you, Patrick, for your presentation and great news, actually. So basically, this is the same program that we had in the construction of MSA Sanan.
That is correct, yes.
And not much has changed. Same way, if SB 740 is gone, instead we get 50% grant and 50% funding.
A 50% loan, yes, that is correct.
And what was the rate you said? I missed that part, that California state
did. It's a rate that the state of California borrows at. I don't know what that current rate is. In the past, it's been like in the 3% range. So, compared to... compared to private commercial loans right now, it's going to be much more favorable.
Okay. And I guess we'll get more updates down the road about this.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, we just actually yesterday received some documents from the Office of Public School Construction that we need to work through. You'll definitely be receiving some updates as well as some action items in the not too distant future.
Okay, great. Yeah, I looked at the agenda and what was shared, so it's pretty clear. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. Is there any further questions from the committee members?
Yeah, this is just Alfredo, staff, Alfredo Rubalcaba, CEO, superintendent. I just want to commend Patrick and Mustafa for their diligence. As soon as we found out in January 2022 that this grant was open. Obviously, we were already in the process of getting MSA 5, but they jumped on the opportunity and followed up with the Office of Public School Construction almost on a weekly basis. And eventually, we didn't think that this would fall on our lap, but it did, which makes sense because MSA 5, from Ali all the way to the staff and the families, deserve a brand new state-of-the-art campuses. They're not here right now, but I know from speaking to that community, they're super excited, super elated. They can't wait to hear next steps almost every second. So constant getting reminders. When is the next step? What are we doing? But they're so excited. And MPS is so excited. But thank you, Patrick and Mustafa, for being persistent on this and getting this award.
Absolutely.
Any further questions from the committee members before we proceed? All righty, if not, then as mentioned earlier, this is an informational and discussion item, so no action will be needed. So moving on with the agenda, we'll move on to the recommended action items, starting with 3A, approval of 16600 Van Noen Street new property acquisition. This will be presented by Mr. Ontiveros, our General Counsel and Director of Facilities.
Yes, good evening, everybody. This is Patrick Ontiveros again, Director of Facilities and General Counsel. So this item is, well, by way of background, as everybody knows, we have been pursuing a private site for MSA 2 now for, I want to say, at least a couple years. And it's been a really difficult search. There isn't much inventory out there. And the need to acquire a new site for MSA 2, you know, I would say has become even more urgent. They are nearing the end of their facility use agreement at the Birmingham Community Charter High School campus. We had a negotiation, I should say, with and a disagreement with LAUSD about the terms of the use agreement and when it expired. We at that time also applied for Prop 39 facilities, not knowing whether we were going to be allowed to stay at the campus under the use agreement. Again, we eventually came to a resolution whereby we were, in effect, our use agreement was honored as ending coterminous with our charter, which is in at the end of the 2024 school year. I should say 23-24 school year, at which point we will need to apply for Prop 39 space, just like many of our other schools. In this instance, we got a preview of what's to come. We submitted our Prop 39 application, and as we were nearing a resolution with LAUSD, we saw the offer that we were going to be made to us, and it basically involved splitting up our MSA 2 school among two separate campuses, one of which was going to remain Birmingham, the other of which was going to be a school several miles away. So obviously this is a great school, high performing, great enrollment, great staff, great teachers. And obviously we want to maintain that community, maintain that cohesion. So we've been even more doggedly pursuing opportunities. We've been working with a broker who helped us close the Sherman Way acquisition 2 or 3 months ago, and then also brought us the Winnetka property, which, as you know, we closed on. This property, the property at 16600 Van Noen Street, became available very quite suddenly. Our broker had been following this for a long time. And, you know, we have weekly meetings with him to just talk about these site searches and progress and this kind of thing. And just about every week we would ask the same question, is this property on the market now? And every week, up until very recently, they said, no, hold your horses. We're following it. We'll make sure that once it does come on the market that we, you know, pursue it. So that's exactly what happened here. It became available. We submitted an offer along with several other parties, as I understand it. There was some back and forth and some negotiation. Ultimately, the seller accepted our offer. And we moved forward with negotiating a purchase and sale agreement. And because we were not going at risk with any money, we believed it was appropriate to sign the purchase and sale agreement in advance of getting board approval, with the expectation that we would return to the board to get it ratified and approved, which is obviously what we're doing now. We are in the process of doing a lot of due diligence on this property. Some of the issues to be aware of is it is about 4.3 acres, which is a very good size parcel, or several parcels, I should say. It's expensive also, to the tune of about $14.9 million. So we are in the process of looking at how we develop this property. We have many ideas that we're working through right now, but one of the bigger issues that we face, among others, is this property is not zoned for schools. So we will have to go through a entitlement process with the city of Los Angeles. So that is a risk that we're evaluating right now. And we're also doing several other items, including getting an appraisal. We are getting phase one done. We are getting a soils analysis. So we're moving forward with a lot of these studies to make sure we are aware of any risk. And if it's able to be mitigated, we take appropriate steps. We are also speaking with the lender who loaned us money for the Sherman Way property for MSA1, as well as Winnetka, to see if they are interested in financing this property as well. They charge a fairly hefty interest rate, but they are one of the easiest lenders I've ever worked with as far as requirements. They don't require a reserve fund. They will fund 100% of the purchase price. So from that perspective, it's very attractive to work with them. Right now, it's difficult, if not impossible, to get 100% financing. Typically, what you'd have to do is have a senior lender, subordinated lender structure, which can also be pricey. So again, we are moving forward with all of our analyses. And unfortunately, we have a very short window within which to make a decision. It's 60 days. So our due diligence period expires on December 11th. So that gives us a little bit over a month to finish what we're doing right now and make a decision. So we're, again, moving forward on all these fronts and making that analysis. But this is a great property, a great opportunity. It's 4 acres is very unusual to find for any purpose in the valley. So we will be very cautious about how we move forward with developing it. And again, we're looking at different scenarios to make it affordable. let's see. And so that is basically, that is the end of my presentation. And I'm happy to answer any questions you may have. Again, we're bringing this to the board to ratify and approve it. It has been signed. We opened escrow, obviously, but you know, as is our obligation, we're bringing it to the board to ratify that action. Thank you.
Before questions, this is Alfredo Rubalcaba, CEO, Superintendent. I did want to add just a little bit more context and then give David Garner, our wonderful leader there at MSA2, just some time to briefly talk about the pulse of MSA2 in terms of educational partners and how they're feeling about a facility. And obviously, one thing we targeted or made as a priority is that we were gonna get all of our Prop 39 schools a private facility. And this obviously is a wonderful opportunity and it will allow us to meet that goal. MSA2 is our only school who has grown through the pandemic from 435 to 511. The enrollments this year, interest for next year are super high. So there's a lot of great things happening at MSA2 and hopefully we will be able to move forward. But as Patrick said, we have a lot of work before us in terms of due diligence and we will do that. I'm gonna turn it over to David just to briefly give us a pulse of what the MSA2 community thinks.
Good afternoon, members of the public and board. Thank you so much for being in the Valley. And this is a very exciting opportunity for our families.
Mr. Garner, you're cutting off.
And LUSD is Prop 39 school. And
Mr. Garner? We lost him. So Alfredo, do you want to go to questions first before when he gets on reception?
Yes, go ahead. Let's go to questions from our board.
Okay. At this moment, is there any questions or comments from the members of the public regarding this item? If not, committee members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item?
Yeah, thank you, Patrick, for the presentation. And I appreciate the emphasis on how unique a property this is and the challenges of any property of this size in the Valley. I am fairly concerned about this, what seems to be a pretty fast diligence period generally for a property of this size, but particularly this issue about the conditional use permit needed and that per the materials is not likely to be able to be submitted by the end of the due diligence period. So question one, and I guess I think I know the answer to this, but question one is there any ability to extend that diligence period further? And I guess, is there any ability to extend it sufficiently long that it could encompass at least the submission, if not the disposition of the conditional use permit? And then question two is, I would like a little bit more clarity on, in a worst case scenario where we close the conditional use application and the zoning change gets rejected or is approved with like stringent limitations or something like that, and we have to dispose of the property, whether we have any sense of what that looks like. This is obviously, it's a tough market generally to be transacting real estate. It seems particularly a bad market to be selling real estate. This is obviously a unique property because it's so big and has a certain zoning to it. If we have to close and we can't get the permit approved, what does the outlook look like for this project? And then finally, and I'm sorry to stack up questions like this,
right. But
the question is like, have we gotten any formal advice from our lawyers or from anyone else about, they can never give you a certainty, but like any assessment of the likelihood of this the conditional use application and zoning change being approved.
Right. This is Patrick again, Director of Facilities, General Counsel. Thank you for that question. Hopefully I remembered it all. I think your first question was, is there any way of extending the due diligence period? And the answer to that is maybe. I've spoken to our broker about it. It's much shorter period of due diligence than would be typical. There is a distinct possibility of doing that. We don't know what that looks like yet. I would expect that the seller would, if they agreed to it, would say, okay, well, you have to release funds from escrow. And I think that would be money well spent. We don't know what that amount is. I'm not sure I want to hazard a guess as to what that could be. I would expect that it would be substantial. I don't think I mentioned it, but we did have to make a $400,000 good faith deposit, which up until the end of the due diligence period is entirely refundable to us. So if they were to extend the due diligence period, we would have to release some amount of money from that. And obviously that would be a point of negotiation. In speaking with our broker about this, he's of the mind that they would probably agree to do that. As you point out, the market being what it is right now, any other prospective purchaser would have to go through the same processes that we are going through. So we're a fair certainty. I mean, at the very least, they would get the consideration for the extended period. If we were to back out, at the very least, they have that money in hand, and they could go out and look for other purchasers. But again, other purchasers are going to find themselves in the same situation. So I would say our confidence is relatively high that we could extend that due diligence period. As far as the entitlements, we have a couple people working for us on this. First person is Veronica Becerra, our land use consultant who's helped us get the CUP for MSA 7, from 279 to 500 students. She facilitated that. She did the zone change for MSA 1, and she's helped us on several other of these entitlement land use issues. So she's been very trustworthy and been a really good partner in that regard. So she has had some conversations with the planning department, and according to her, they've said this is a sound project for this location. Obviously that's helpful. It's not dispositive. Anything can happen when you apply for a CUP. We've also consulted with Jane Usher of Music Peeler. For those who are not aware, Jane Usher was previously on the Planning Commission, so she knows the ins and outs of that. We've discussed hurdles that we'll have to overcome, the challenges, the possible opposition, things of that nature. So we're proceeding very cautiously. Both Jane and Veronica are helping us with this. They are reaching out to the parties that they need to in order to give us better feel for what we can expect. So that is in process at the moment. And your third question, it has to do with, what's the worst case scenario? Well, the worst case scenario, would be we purchase it, we apply for our entitlements, we don't get them and we have to dispose of the property. We know that when we submitted our offer, there were several other offers. Obviously ours was the better of them. Otherwise it would have gone with somebody else. I know that there were some all cash offers. I don't know the exact price that was offered, the offering price. So we'll try to get more information on that. But that is the worst case scenario. We have to turn around and sell it. I think I mentioned we have an appraisal in process that will be helpful for us to understand what this property appraises at the moment. So that will be actually coming in within the next couple days. So that will be another data point that we will be able to look at more closely and examine and see where that leaves us. One thing to note about the appraisal is that's going to be key to our financing because if CLI Capital is our lender, they will only lend up to the lesser of the purchase price or the appraised value. So that's what happened with the property on Sherman Way. The purchase price was $4 million. It appraised at $3.25 million. And so we had to make up the difference. So in this instance, if our purchase price is roughly $14 million, it comes back at $13 million. That may not be a big deal. If it comes much lower than that, then that could be dispositive. We may not be able to make up that difference in value. So the appraisal is going to be very important.
And can I ask, just because I'm familiar with how this process works in the residential home buying market, but not sure. In the this is not commercial, but the non-residential home, the property market. When you're buying a house, you could have a financing or appraisal, a financing contingency or an appraisal contingency, something where like if the house doesn't appraise and thus you can't pull the financing for it, you can get out in whatever, time period you have without having to lose your escrow money or your earnest money deposit. How does this due diligence period work with respect to that? If the appraisal came in at say $10 million or something like some gap that we couldn't make up, and we want to back out and we're still in the diligence period, what are we on the hook for? Like, is that a get out of jail free card, or are we going to still be on the hook for either all the escrow money or the earnest money or whatever else?
That's an excellent question. Our due diligence period is for us, quite simply to do all of our due diligence, including getting a financing commitment. So if we are unable to get the financing commitment that we need, if we are unable to make up any difference, then that is a valid reason for us to pull out of escrow. Basically the way these AIR forms read and how they're structured is basically it's a 60-day or whatever the due diligence period, the term of the due diligence period is, it's basically a free look period. You put your money up and you do your due diligence. If at the end of that due diligence, it doesn't work for you, then you pull out of escrow, you get your refund, and that's it. So there are any number of reasons we could pull out of escrow. Financing is one of them. In summary, yes, if it comes in at $10 million, $11 million, $12 million, and we can't make up the difference, then we can cancel escrow and receive a full refund of our earnest money deposit.
Okay. And then going back to my first question, in terms of an extension on the due diligence period, is there, I'll just be candid. I mean, the reason I'm going to have trouble voting yes on this is I'm quite concerned about this conditional use permit issue. That concern would be somewhat ameliorated if it were possible to get some extension on the diligence period that would at least cover us to do further analysis on this and perhaps, see something in writing about the likelihood of this going through or get the application submitted, et cetera. What would this, Are we in the process of requesting a an extension of the due diligence period? Is it something we can do soon? Like, what is the status of our ability to get that extension?
Yeah, that's a great question. We have not made the ask yet of the seller. We are right now. We're as I mentioned, our land use team, as it were, are doing some research, reaching out to some folks in planning at the neighborhood council to get a better idea of what we could expect. So, you know, that's in process. I think once we have a better handle on that, which I would say will be within the next few days, we will. I think we'll have a better idea of going back to the seller and asking for that extension. I will note. I heard you say that you have difficulty voting for this. I just want you to know that what you're voting for is you're ratifying the opening of the escrow. You're ratifying us, starting this process. In order, before we release any money, we would come back to the board and say, these are the facts. This is our recommendation. And then the committee and the board would decide whether we move forward with the transaction or don't move forward with the transaction. So there's that additional layer. This is not the approval we're asking for today is not to just go forward with a blank check, so to speak.
No, I understand that. I appreciate that. I mean, there's always some risks at every stage of the process. I appreciate that. And I appreciate that this is naturally an uncertain process. Yeah, and so right. I understand the position you're in, and it's hard to get clear answers to this. I'll just sort of, reaffirm my belief that we would be very well advised to do anything we can to extend this diligence period, and doubly so if there are any serious concerns we have about getting the conditional use permit here, and whether that bubbles up in whether we foresee opposition in the neighborhood council or foresee opposition on planning or foresee whatever other people can raise challenges to this. I'm not experienced in this particular type of property, but I know that these conditional use permits and zoning variances and changes generally are often very hard fought in ways that are maybe not obvious at the outset. And there's such a substantial amount of money at stake here that I want us to be as careful as possible with making sure we are doing everything we can to put ourselves in the best position and not be stuck with having to sell a $14 million property in a down market 6 months.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Thank you for your questions, Mr. Sheehan. Before opening it up again to committee members, I want to give Mr. Garner an opportunity to speak since he has some connectivity issues. Mr. Garner?
Thanks so much, members of the public and members of the board. Can everybody hear me again now?
Yes.
Great. Yes.
So I'll be very brief. I know a lot of great information has been covered, a lot of great questions. Thank you so much for these really important questions. I did want to just kind of state the pulse and the feeling from the stakeholders, the parents, the students, and the staff. We live really close to MSA 5. The whole community heard about what happened with LUC and the Prop 39 situation with MSA 5, where they were kind of split apart, where potentially the move at Prop 39 splitting apart the school could potentially destroy the whole school, because we have a lot of siblings, neighbors, nieces, nephews that carpool. We have a lot of walking families that live in the neighborhood that don't have access to cars and take buses. So to move the school 6.9 miles away, which is where MSA 5 was requested to move. And, when they got their Prop 39 kind of split, the community's really worried about what will happen if we don't have our own facility outside of LUSD. When Prop 39 kind of comes to fruition, as Patrick stated, we saw what LUC's plan was for MSA2, which was to kind of break us apart and offer us Sepulveda Middle School. And we're very grateful to be able to, lease the facility we have right now from LUC. We're grateful, grateful tenants, for the years that we've been there. However, the terms are changing on July 1st, 2024. And it wasn't an easy fight to get at that extension that we fought, thanks to all of our amazing support from home office and legal team. However, everybody sees the kind of Titanic that we're on right now, going to the iceberg of what's going to happen when LUSD offers us a Prop 39 and splits us apart. Where will they split us? How far will they send the other siblings? And right now we have a really flourishing enrollment, as everybody kind of shared. You know, we are the only Magnolia school that's grown 4 consecutive years, 437, 464, 505, and now 511. So we are grateful that the families and have continued to choose MSA2. We have students waiting to come in at certain grade levels that, you know, we can't fit here. So we could have more numbers, but we can't fit them in the physical classrooms right now for some of the grade levels as well. So those numbers of 511, you know, are still growing. We are kind of too big for where we can fit right now. And so I know there's a lot of risk in this purchase. I know there's a lot of factors that have to work out. However, we've been looking for 2 years, and this is pretty much the first real opportunity that we've found to actually not lose enrollment, because a lot of times when charter schools have to jump out of the public school, as we know, it becomes too far to maintain their enrollment, and then they have to start over, and then they can't pay for the fees for the mortgage based on their lower enrollment, and that becomes a detriment, and they close down that way. So we really, really want to fight to keep MSA2 alive for our students' sake, most importantly. That's why we're here. We're here for our students, they're and their families, most importantly as well. If they were, you know, happy with the other neighborhood schools, and they weren't kind of knocking our door down to ask us what's going on, you know, where will we be going after LUSD might, you know, evict us, as they kind of are looking at this July 1st, 2024 kind of iceberg down the road. You know, we have incredible, amazing, you know, supportive families, very, very incredible staff, amazing, amazing, dedicated, creative people that are on the team. And so we are here to humbly ask the board and this committee to consider approving, taking on this risk, and asking for the extension, as has been shared, for, you know, the due diligence period, as noted, great feedback. Mr. Sheehan, thanks for sharing that. In terms of the, you know, the likelihood of everything working out, we know we have to roll the dice with certain things. We're begging the board to help us stand up for our families, because right now, if we don't commit to something, the possibility of us getting into a facility and finding another property that's within a distance where we won't lose the enrollment, and essentially MSA2 will maybe shut down and have to start over, and all the amazing love that we have in our community for our students and our families will have gone to, you know, to kind of a very detrimental position. We owe it to our families and our students and our staff to advocate for them. And that's why we're here, because they're humbly asking us as well, you know, to fight for them and fight for their children. And that's why we're all here. As we all know, we're all in this, you know, industry because our hearts are in it first. Obviously, that's why we're all here. And we appreciate everybody for being on the board, for being on, you know, all of our support from the home office and everybody as well, you know, from the top down. We couldn't have done it without everybody's support, you know. And I'm here to humbly say, you know, we really, really appreciate everybody's consideration and weighing the risks, but also doing it in a calculated way where we think this is basically the only time that if we're going to make a move, we can actually try to do it and then survive what might happen with Prop 39 on July 1st, 2024, and try to get through that 1 year of transition, which Alfredo has been racking his brain, you know, staying up late at night, not sleeping. His poor wife is, you know, trying to get him to go to bed, but he's trying to figure out how we can get through that transition year. And we're so grateful for all of his creativity and all of his, you know, problem solving and solutions oriented, you know, feedback and helping keep us in the loop and working on behalf of our families as well. And I'm confident that we have the right people on the team, the right people advocating for us, the right people helping get all these pieces together, including everybody here in this meeting and the board members and our home office members. that if there's a way to get this done, these are the people who can get it done. And this is the time that it can get done. And we understand the risks, but it's worth fighting for our students and their families and our community. It's worth us taking on the risk for them. If it wasn't for our students, you know, I would say, if it was for me, I'd say, hey, let's not do it. But because it's for the students, I say, you know, that's why I'm here. And I really appreciate everybody's time and consideration and understand that this is not a certainty and that there are a lot of factors and a lot of great questions that we need to continue to ask. And I'm not naive at all to you know, the obstacles ahead of us. I know it's a big, big, big bumpy road, but I'm ready to stay on the road the whole way because that's what, you know, my commitment is to our students and our families. So thanks so much for everyone's consideration. Sorry for talking over 2 minutes, but I will close my mouth now and pass the microphone back to the next members here. But thank you so much, board and members of the public, for your consideration. If you have any other questions on behalf of, you know, myself or MSA2 community, you know, educational partners, I'm also here to answer those as well.
Thank you for that, Mr. Garner. So I'll turn it back again over to the committee members for any further questions or comments.
Thank you, Mr. Garner. Patrick, quickly, what's the possibility of CSFP here? Any chances?
Right now, I would say none. Okay. You know, they haven't announced whether they're going to open up any further funding rounds. We know that they gave out a sizable amount of money at this last meeting. I do expect that in the future, because awards from, you know, past rounds have been returning to the program, that they will eventually open up another funding round. But right now, we simply don't have a line of sight on that.
Okay. So in this case, do we qualify for SB 740 here?
Yes.
If the SFP doesn't go through?
Yes, we do. Yes, okay. We do.
Now, I mean, this is a great project. It excites and at the same time, it worries. So it's natural. It should be that way. So to prepare for it, so I would strongly suggest for the finance team with Steve to look into scenarios in terms of enrollment and how the numbers look. We will need that for financing anyways, but the board will be very much relieved to see scenarios. You know, it's not too early, it's not too late, just to contemplate those with, without SB 740, with 500 students, with the current number of students, 564, with more students that we're gonna put there, 750. But being conservative, I'd like to see those numbers, and I'm sure board will be more confident to move forward with this. So a lot falls on Steve as well, and you guys providing documentation for it. Also, Alfredo, the external officer, Dr. Lopez, does a great job in terms of reaching out. So I think it's time yesterday that we start this with the community. Since this is public now, we get everyone behind us on this. And I'm sure any hurdle that we will come across, like Ms. Sheehan also mentioned, the CUP issue can be somehow smoothed out. So let's look who the stakeholders on top of that, how many people who we can get behind us on this. And this is for the kids. There is no reason not to allow this to happen. But then again, there is a lot of hurdles along the way, to say the least. So let's try to eliminate that as much as we can. And all we have to do is just tell who we are, what we do, what MSA2 stands for, what it has done so far to the community, to the families of the Valley in general. Let's put it out there more. Mr. Gardner, a lot falls on the school, you know, to put out what we've done and what we're trying to do, and any support we can get from a community member, from who's our representative. You know, let's go big, let's go small, and all that in between, and get this going. We will need a momentum to get this going. This is going to be one of the biggest undertakings that we have, and I'm sure we will do it. We can do it, but let's be prepared for it strongly. Yeah, that's all I have. But again, thank you for working diligently on this and bringing this up.
This is Alfredo Rubalcaba, CEO, Superintendent. Thank you for the feedback, Makan, and I'll turn it over to Steve just to talk about the budget aspect of it. And his team has been working on different scenarios. Steve?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have run a few scenarios so far in looking at obviously rates. We had a meeting just this week with our financial advisor and kind of going over just the overview of the project, taking a look at the floor rate, which right now is about 7%, and then cost of construction being about 8.5%. And we know that interest rates, you know, may continue to go up. And we know that next year in 2023, there may be some uncertainties with the economy. So we're taking into consideration the rates. We're taking into consideration the fact that this acquisition would also entail some additional work in terms of selling acres, and then really identifying a layout of the property in terms of where things will go. And so one of the takeaways from our conversation this week was that we really need to kind of drill down more and identify this as a package, as specifically, you know, what will be on the property, how many students, what portion of it will be sold off, how will that work, what are the mechanics, the CUP. We're obviously still waiting for the appraisal. So there are a lot of variables that need to be honed in, and I absolutely agree in that we have to run at least 4 to 5 scenarios on different enrollment projections, on different interest rates, and on different scenarios and just different what ifs, so that we have a good, clear understanding, because next year is going to be somewhat turbulent. So we want to be prepared for all different types of outcomes. So I think as we drill down and get additional budget assumptions and we get additional details, I think we'll be able to bring that forward to you and be able to share at least 4 or 5 different scenarios to be able to give you guys a sort of a menu of what we're looking at and what the risks are. So we'll be happy to share that information with you as we move along further into this.
Thank you, Steve. And this is Alfredo again, CEO, Superintendent. So yes, Makan, you're right. The outreach piece with all educational partners has begun. And I'm going to be with David tomorrow as we communicate to our parents at MSHU. And we will work very closely with Dr. Lopez and the outreach and communications team, and the community school coordinator team, the parent and community engagement team, to ensure that they are fully aware of what we're trying to do here, but also to build a collective group of support, which we know at MSA2 is super strong, the home of the Mustangs. So we will do that work while we do this due diligence. So we definitely will be on top of that. And thank you for the feedback. Back to you, Jen. Jennifer.
Thank you for that. Before reading the motion, is there any final questions or comments from the committee members?
Question to ask. Let's say we do acquire the property. What are we putting forth in a budget as far as having to upgrade or to do any total construction work at the site? How much are we going to budget through? Are we going to have the ability to be able to do this, et cetera?
Hi, this is Patrick. We've started taking a stab at that. That is part of the overall analysis that we're doing. So we're looking at various possibilities, looking at, square footage that would be required to support the program, what construction options may be available. So we are looking at all of those factors. They are certainly playing a critical role in our analysis. But right now we have to take a very taking a conservative perspective on it, using, you know, some fairly robust construction cost numbers to make sure that we're not underestimating what those costs are going to be. So, you know, I think that's a long-winded way of saying that we are looking at that carefully. That is factoring into our analysis.
Thank you for that. So with that being said, the motion is for Magnolia Public Schools Audit and Facilities Committee to approve and ratify the execution of a purchase and sell agreement and opening of escrow for that certain property located at, and I apologize, there is a typo there, but it is supposed to read 16600 Sinoan Street for the benefit of Magnolia Science Academy 2. Furthermore, for the committee to move and recommend for the board to adopt the same. Would a board member like to move, would a committee member like to move the motion? If no one would like to move, is there a
Jennifer, I muted out. So you read the motion?
I did, yes.
Okay.
All right. Do you want
anyone?
No. No one moved yet.
Okay, I move it. This is Nick when I move it. Apologies. I muted out.
No worries, Mr. Mohammadov. Thank you for moving. Is there a second to this motion?
I'll go ahead and second the motion, Diane.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez, for seconding. I'll take roll call vote. Mr. Mohammadov?
Yes.
Yes, Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Sheehan?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you to our committee members. The motion carries with unanimous approval. Next, we'll move on to recommended action item 3B. Of the Pacific Charter School Development Contract for the Magnolia Science Academy 1 Feasibility Study. This will be presented once again by Mr. Ontiveros, our General Counsel and Director of Facilities.
Good evening, everybody. This is Patrick Ontiveros again, General Counsel and Director of Facilities. So as the committee knows, we recently purchased the property at 18242 Sherman Way. It's the property immediately adjacent to the MSA 1 middle school building, also known as the JAM building. So we took a look at that. At first we were thinking, well, let's just gut this, put some restrooms in there and, you know, make it available for use. We then spoke with the school and the school said, you know, we have a vision for this space. We want to put our arts program in there, you know, including a stage. We want to put, you know, other specialized classrooms in there. Instead of, you know, doing one set of improvements now and then doing another set of improvements later, why don't we just do what our vision is now? So with that in mind, we need to look at the feasibility of this. We need to look at, you know, construction, how we fit that program into the space, what the cost is going to be, what the timeline looks like. So all of those, excuse me, are very important questions to answer. In addition, as a committee knows, we also have a vision of creating a gymnasium on the property to offer a more robust athletic program to our community, which will certainly make the school more attractive to students. So with all of that said, we need to look at those factors again, timeline, budget, constructability, all of these factors to make an informed decision about how to move forward. So we've worked with Pacific Charter School Development before. They were helping us on the Winnetka Avenue project for a while. They have been helping us with the MSA 7 CUP project. We think they would be a good partner to help us do this analysis for us. In addition to that, they have indicated that they have set aside some equity to possibly put into this project. So with that said, you know, they've proposed a fee not to exceed $24,000 to do this feasibility study for us. You know, in the motion, I added $6,000 on top of that just for contingency, reimbursable expenses, this kind of thing. So the really what we're asking is for the committee to approve us using them to do this feasibility. I think it's critical that we do it and have a really good handle on what our obstacles are, what kind of timeline we're looking at, what kind of costs we're looking at, so we can move forward in an informed manner. And that's the end of my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ontiveros. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? If not, committee members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item?
Thank you, Patrick. Do we have like timeline of some sort when this will be presented back to you guys?
Yeah, it's within 2 months. They'll be working with our architect, Arthur Fernandez from Rafael Franco and Associates. They will be doing the test fits for the space. And then we will be looking at, you know, the constructability, you know, what needs to be improved in the building. We know that the roof needs to be replaced, for example. We know that there need to be some seismic upgrades. So they/we will be consulting with general contractors on these costs. For the gymnasium, as you may recall, we hired another architect to do a master plan for the gymnasium. They presented us with several options. We decided on one option that we think best suits the property. As you may recall, the gymnasium would be built in our now parking lot area. So we want to have a gymnasium that will allow us to have CIF sports. Again, our community has indicated that that's important to them. So we want to make sure that we are able to offer that. And that would just add to the appeal, given the the ice hockey rink that is going in next door. So once we have those things in place, we will be able to offer a really robust athletic program in addition to a rigorous academic program.
Okay. All right. If you guys would be kind enough to share once they provide us with the documents, would be great.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. Is there any further questions from the committee members? If no further questions, the motion is for the committee to approve Magnolia Public Schools to hire Pacific Charter School Development for a total amount not to exceed $30,000, $24,000 in fees, and $6,000 for contingency and reimbursable expenses to conduct a feasibility study for Magnolia Science Academy 1, to examine the budget, timeline, and feasibility to renovate the recently purchased 18242 Sherman Way property, aka the GEM property, and construct a gymnasium on MSA 1's parking lot parcels. Furthermore, for the committee to move and recommend for the board to adopt the same. Would a committee member like to move the motion?
I'll move, Mika.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. Is there a second?
I'll second, Daniel.
Thank you, Mr. Sheehan. I'll take roll call vote. Mr. Mohammadov?
Yes.
Yes. Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Sheehan?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you to our committee. The motion carries with unanimous approval. Last, we move on to recommended action item 3C, approval of extension of Pacific Charter School Development. Oh, sorry, give me one second. There we go. Approval of extension of Pacific Charter School Development contract for Magnolia Science Academy 7 expansion. This will be presented once again by Mr. Ontiveros, our General Counsel and Director of Facilities.
Good evening. This is Patrick again, General Counsel and Director of Facilities. So by way of background, as the committee members know, we applied for a conditional use permit for MSA 7. We did have one previously, which allowed a student enrollment of up to 279 students. We want to expand at that site. We think there is demand and we offer a compelling academic program there. So we submitted a CUP application to the city, and that was took about a year to get, and it was recently approved. So it's final now, and we can enroll up to 500 TK through 6 students there. So that obstacle, that hurdle has been overcome. Now it's a matter of moving forward with putting space there in, to accommodate those students. We have a partner in the church, our landlord. We are talking to them about taking over the preschool building that is already there on site. So we're looking at that property, that building, and how to improve it to house TK and I think K students. So we're looking at that. We're also have prepared the plans for the modulars, the modular classrooms for installation. So those plans are being prepared and will be submitted to the city for approval. So we're in that phase of the project now. PCSD has been helping us throughout the CUP portion of this, and now with the next phase, so to speak, moving forward, the permitting, we would like to utilize their services to assist us to get through that phase as well. They've proposed an extension for 6 months for a fee not to exceed $69,000. I've added to the motion, I've added $6,000 for contingency and reimbursable expenses. That's the end of my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ontiveros. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? If not, committee members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item?
Who did we work on the CUP process here, Patrick? We contracted it out, right?
Yeah, so PCSD managed that for us. Veronica Becerra, yes. A land use consultant, took the lead on the entitlements. Art Fernandez of Rafael Franco and Associates, created the site plan that we submitted with our CUP.
How was the process? I mean, was it were they communicative? Were you guys happy with the things?
Yeah. I thought they did a good job. They managed things like getting a traffic analysis done for us. They worked with the architect to put together the appropriate site plan. They worked with Veronica on various aspects of the CUP. We had a person dedicated to us that we met with on a weekly basis, along with Veronica, along with Art. So I think we have a good team going forward.
I mean, MSA 2 is a different dynamic, of course, there, but maybe similar or same team, I mean, could be utilized as well, or maybe some sort of thing that just came to my mind.
That's a great idea.
Basically, they have to go through Van Nuys, right, again?
Yeah, right.
So yeah, if they know the building and if they know in and out there.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. Is there any further questions from my committee member? If no further questions, the motion is for the committee to approve MPS to renew Pacific Charter School Developments Agreement for 6 months for a total amount not to exceed $75,000, $69,000 in fees, and $6,000 for contingency and reimbursable expenses to continue assisting with the MSA 7 expansion project consisting of making 10 improvements to the existing preschool building on the Lifehouse Church, MSA 7's landlord, and applying for the receiving permits for the installation of modular classrooms. Furthermore, for the committee to move and recommend for the board to adopt the same. Would a committee member like to move the motion?
I'll move, Mekan.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez, for seconding. I'll take roll call vote. Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Yes, Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Sheehan?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you to our committee members. The motion carries with unanimous approval. So that concludes all of our items for tonight's meeting. We almost ended on time. We ended 2 minutes early. So thank you everyone for your time today. I'll turn it over to Mr. Mohamedov to adjourn the meeting. The time is 6:45 p.m.
Yes, thank you everyone. I would like to adjourn the Magnolia Public Schools Audit and Facilities Committee meeting. Have a good evening, everyone.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great evening. Take care.
Bye-bye.